Amen. Lord, I pray now that, Lord, as we go into your word that is anointed and the truth, the word of God, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and Lord, just overshadow any of my weakness. Lord, your word never goes out without accomplishing what you send it for. We ask you to bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Get over here where my notes are. Amen. I was thinking of Lord just speaking to me some familiar things to me and for us. Verses, some refrigerator verses that we have. We'll see how all these verses tie in together. Out of Philippians 4, again, familiar verses. To rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. And that word, rejoice, if you remember last time we talked about it, comes from two words, to delight in the grace of God, right? So we think of rejoice sometimes as just, it is tied in, you know, if that person rejoicing, if James is rejoicing, we think, well, James is happy, he's smiling, you know, laughing. And when I was seeking the Lord about this a long time ago, I was like, Lord, what about when you don't feel good, you know, and you say you're in pain or, you know, things are going on. Can you still rejoice in the Lord? Because he says rejoice in the Lord always, right? And the answer is yes. Because what that word literally means is to lean into the grace of God. To delight in and experience the grace of God, right? So rejoicing means that I'm now receiving from and I'm just leaning into his grace. You know, his grace, his acceptance, we talk about that, his affection toward me, his ability, you know, and activity and victory in and through me, the grace of God, okay? Real cool word. But it ties into these next things because let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is right here. The Lord is near. The Lord is, which means the Lord is very present with you. You can do that because he's here, right? He's in you. He's outside of you, but he's also within you. Let your gentle spirit. In other words, let people see this, right? With my gentle spirit is a very trusting. If I'm trusting in the Lord in my circumstance, right? My gentle spirit is going to be known. And the very opposite of that, which we're fixing to read, is to not be anxious for anything, the very next word. The word anxiety and worry. Like, we all know what that is, right? We don't have to read the Greek in that. We all know what anxiety and worry is. Right, the very opposite of that is a gentle spirit. If I have a gentle spirit, it's a trusting spirit. I'm resting. And I remember years ago, Betty Brennan teaching us that I really like what she said. It says, how you handle quietness and being alone, when you're alone or quietness will determine how much of the Lord's peace or the gentle spirit that you're walking in. Right. If I can't sit still, right? If I'm always, you know, anxious, I got to be moving or doing or something like that, then my spirit's not at rest, right? And sometimes the Lord will put you in positions to where, you know, Psalm 23 says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. And sometimes the Lord, and I've experienced that lately with just the neck deal and the headaches, where the Lord has you still, right? When you feel like you need to get up and be doing something, or right? To teach you these things about not being anxious in a gentle spirit, right? The sovereignty of God in the midst of that. All right. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right? Prayer is actually the word to exchange. I'm exchanging with God. We're exchanging wishes, We're exchanging desires. You know, I'm in other words, I'm given to Him, He's given back to me, right? The supplications are those deep need requests that we have to God. So in everything, right? Everything by prayer and supplication. Everything in my life, right, is either flowing out of a position of trust or fear, right? Fear is anxious and worry. All that's rooted in fear. Fear is rooted in unbelief, right? So the Lord teaches us how to exchange, right? Whatever's making me anxious, whatever I'm worrying about, exchange it. Because God, in 1 Peter chapter 5 says, casting all our anxiety on Him because He cares, right? Anything that makes you anxious or nervous, God cares about. And so in prayer, I'm exchanging, right? I'm giving Him this, He's given me and His peace. Because the very next verse says, and let the peace of Christ, let the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right? Really cool thing. So I'm exchanging this for, and I'm receiving His peace, and you just can't understand it. It passes all comprehension, right? Then He says, finally, this is where these things are summed up. These all go together. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And so a friend of mine sent that out as on Facebook the other day, just sent that verse. And that's what got me going on this, because, all right, Lord, the way I think is, I got to break all this down. Okay, what is true? All right, what is right? Then that word true is let your mind or think on these things, right? Dwell on these means to think on them. True is just from a word that means that which cannot be hidden. What's true in reality? Like, God is love, right? God is, in 1 John, light, right? So I've got to think on, all right, what's true, right? We know that in every situation. Okay, what is true here, right? My mind is drifting. I'm getting anxious. Wait, what are you thinking about, right? Because whatever you're thinking about, right, is what gets you to those places. If you're thinking fearful thoughts, you're going to get, you know, or anxious thoughts, or worry, you're not thinking on the things that are true, right? What is true? Okay, those are the things that are, that is, right? God is. You are in this situation. Am I thinking on that, right? The word honorable, all right, we got that one. Whatever's true, whatever is honor or honorable. Meaning, that word means majestic, awe, weighty, venerated for his very character, right? Those things about God that awe you, that you don't understand, but yeah, they're awe. And majestic is such as God's sovereignty in every situation, right? That He's in control, that He's actually guiding my steps. And He's already actually been there before I get there. He's gone before me, right? That's something that will awe you, right? The majesty. Lord, how can that be? That just awes me. Well, think on those things, right? How awesome You are, God. How good You are, right? Those are honorable things that you think about, right? Okay? Whatever's pure. That word means pure to the core, very inside and out, right? Not mixed, literally in the Greek, not mixed with guilt or anything condemnable. Okay? So I think on those things. Well, is my thoughts going toward guilt and condemnation? Right? It's not God. It's not Him. Because He wants you to dwell on that in Christ, how He sees you is pure, holy, and beloved. Right? Scripture talks about that, even Ephesians, that He would present us holy and blameless, right? That God, you see me in Christ as pure, without any mixture of guilt or condemnation. Think that, all right? So when you find your thoughts drifting towards feeling guilty, y'all ever do that? Feeling guilty or condemned about something, all right? Because your mind is going to try to go there. We think on the things of, wait a minute, Lord, before you, I stand pure and holy, right? Doesn't mean my behavior is always that way, but that's my standing. And I start thinking like that, that awes you, doesn't it? And that's true. It's truth. Okay? Because as you think, Scripture says in Proverbs, as you think, you become. Right? Whatever your mind dwells on, we become that. So if I'm dwelling on that before God, I'm blameless, I'm pure to the core. I mean, pure to the very core, not one molecule of guilt or condemnation there from God. Right? That's really good. And if I think that way, then I become. Right? My behavior. All right? Those are pure. We'll do one more. Lovely. The word extended with goodwill toward others. And it really means affectionate and caring, right? That God is, if I'm thinking on the lovely things about Him, that He is affectionate toward you and caring toward you. Okay, maybe you've never had anyone in your life, you growing up, that was affectionate toward you, right? Or caring. Parents, you know, we may have one that was, one that wasn't, or maybe none at all. And that's how we develop. That's how we begin to see our first authority, right? But so understanding and knowing that God is affectionate and caring to you is a good thing to think about, right? Okay? Because we're all created that way. We're all created and desire to be loved and important, right? So if we think on these things that God is a caring and affectionate God, okay? That'll change the way I view whatever's going on around me, right? That He cares if I'm suffering or going through something, that God is really caring and compassionate toward that. Not only is He caring and compassionate toward that, but He wants to extend affection to you as well. Okay? That's cool, isn't it? We'll stop there because I've got to have enough stuff to do tomorrow too, okay? So we'll stop because there's other things that are just so cool about this. So all of this is tied in, remember, with rejoicing in the Lord. If I lean into the grace of God, and everything I've talked to you about is what you're receiving and what you start thinking on, right? That's the only way. Perfect love casts out fear, right? Fear and anxiety and worry are all in there together. And so that's the only thing that casts it out, right? So God wants me to start changing the way I think. Amen. And He even does that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.